And that's what we pray for. We also prayed before the service and saying that we are not here to do our own program. We are here to meet with Jesus. We come together and it's special to come together and we know the Lord is here. He's meeting us here. And I trust that each one will have a God encounter, that you will experience God for yourself in a way that you can understand and know that He's God, He's real, He's alive. When this yesterday at Encounter 1, it was really special, just spending time with the group there and just seeing how God works in and through us and hearing testimonies. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to meet each one of us. So this morning, I just sense that we've already received so much, and it's just a privilege to be in the Lord's presence. And just open your heart. Because the thing that we don't want is that we come together and have such special time and walk out of here, and then we just forget about everything. And it's also what I'm talking about. I'm busy talking about you are what you love. It's something that started in India that God has put on my heart just to discuss, where we shared there with the Hindus. It was often they would add Christianity to their beliefs. And I said, yes, we serve a lot of gods. It's easy to add another one into the mix. And we add it onto all our other idols. And I was sitting there and everybody is saying the same thing. And I said, yes, we will. Or not the same thing, but from people telling us, when you go there, remember, it's easy for them. They will add Jesus onto their beliefs. And I just sensed the one day God has told me we are doing exactly the same. Our idols is just looking different. Because we've got a lot of things that we want, a lot of things that capture our hearts, a lot of things that the world is telling us. And in that, we add Jesus. And we try to fit everything together. And that for me, that is what God is busy with for me. Say, wow, Lord, it's a place that I need to follow you. And just realize, what are those things that crept into my heart? What are those things that came into my heart? Because Jesus is really asking, what do we want? Say, what are you seeking? That's the scripture that we started with in John 1. Where the next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples and Jesus walked by. Jesus is walking by and then they said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what are you seeking? And I think this is what Jesus is asking us. What are you seeking? Why are you following me? What do you want? What do you want out of this deal? Is it a place where we're going to come and we're going to surrender our thoughts and our desires and what's going on in our lives? Or do we seek something better? We just want that job, or we want things that we pray for. So now I think it's a good idea to just follow Jesus. What do we want? And that's the question that we started out with. And that's what I want to leave with each one of us. That we must take stock and check our hearts. And see, what do we want? What is that thing? Because everything that we want, those longings, those desires, those dreams, it will shape how we live. It shapes the decisions that we make. It shapes many things. It shapes how we spend our money, how we spend our time. It's all linked. It's all linked. Another scripture in James 1 verse 12 said, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. That just stood out for me, that crown of life. This one, I just add it in here, because that is the thing where we're going towards, the crown of life. And all the books and the psychologists and everything that I read in preparation, they say often we will have an ideal. We will have something that we work towards. You'll have some image in your head that you think this is where you must get to. This is the place how your family must look. This is the ideal work. This is the things that life must look like this. Then that will be great. So that is this thing that you work towards. That is something that is drawing your attention. It's drawing your heart. It's drawing your finances. It's drawing your energy. But Jesus comes and He says, I give you the crown of life. Of all those things, I give the crown of life to those that love me. And that's what I'm praying, that God will come and do something in my life, that my main desire, my one thing, will be the crown of life. Because nothing can compare with that. But that is something that you must contend for that space. You must almost wrestle for that place in our heart where that's settled, where that's a crown of life that I want to go for. It's a place where Jesus is all in all. And I believe that is a battle that's inside of all of us. It's a battle that's going on. And James continues, and let no one say when he's tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. He himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. And the desire is something that we want. Those are the things that tempt us. Those desires. Those things that's part of our lives. Maybe, Peter, just ask him to be a bit quiet, please. Don't worry, we can all hear them. So, I'm aware. Let's just focus on what God wants to do this morning. I just sense that God wants to come and He wants to do something in our hearts. He just wants to turn these desires and these things that is drawing us, He wants that to be shaped in the right way. He wants that to be focused on God. Because ultimately it's desires. It's like James said, each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. And that desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. It brings separation between us and God. So the question is really, what do we want? The good thing is, in Ecclesiastes, the writer had said that eternity is in our hearts. God has placed eternity inside of everyone. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11, God has made everything beautiful in its time. So that's a sermon for another day. Everything is going to be beautiful in its time. And then He has put eternity into man's heart. In each one of us, God has put eternity into our hearts. Sometimes people will say that, I don't need anything, I don't need anybody, just leave me alone. I don't want to have to do anything about you. But they're denying the fact that eternity has been placed inside of their heart. Eternity is placed inside of each one of us. And we will go through life and we will try to fill that box with a lot of stuff. And we will try to meet those needs and those hungers, those desires. We will try to fill it up with things that, and those things will never satisfy. It will never satisfy us. Because that place is for God. That place is what God has put there. He has put eternity in our hearts. And maybe you're here this morning and you just say, yes, that is me. There's these things that I want to do. There's these things that I'm trying to sort out. There's these things that I want to put in place. Because I want that satisfaction. I want to feel safe. I want my life to be sorted out. I want all these things to be in place. Because maybe there's a fear. And God is coming and He's saying, that's my place. Nothing else will satisfy. And ultimately, it is a place where that we must shape our longings, our desires, everything. We must get that it's focused on God. That's what happened in worship. I actually will get to it a little bit later. But that's what's happening in worship. When we worship, it's not us just singing songs to God. It's actually us surrendered to God. And God comes and He starts shaping our ideas. He's shaping who we are. He's shaping those dreams, those desires. He brings a hunger inside of us for God. He creates something inside of us where we will just say, wow, I just want to worship more. God, You are so amazing. I start seeing something of God. I start experiencing something of God. And it's starting to change us from the inside out. And that's why it's so precious for us to come together. Why I just love to be here. I love to be here on Sunday mornings because I experience something of God. Where there's something where God just comes and He will bless the corporate gathering. He will bless corporate worship. Where we come in unity before the Lord. And that is part of this process of shaping our hungers and our desires and everything to Jesus. Because we know there's a lot of messages coming from the outside. There's a lot of things that wants our attention. And it's really like Peter said, it's a time of it must take stock. I believe it's a time of we must just examine our lives and see this is the road I've traveled. And maybe God has just came. Maybe the Lord just came this morning and He just stopped us and He said, let's just check. Let us check how things are going. Maybe let us just check where are your heart? What are you really hungry for? What are those things that you desire? There's a story in 19... Well, it's not a story. It actually happened. In 1914, it's the same year that the Titanic sank and everything, there was this... The Monroe disaster. The two ships there. The Monroe is the Buff. And the... What's the other one? Nantucket. The Monroe and the Nantucket. They collided and it was a massive sea disaster and 40 people died. And there were a lot of the New York Times, there was big investigations into this disaster and why it happened. And eventually, the Captain Johnson from the Monroe, they realized that he had a compass that he used, but it was 2 degrees off. And what he said at the time, he said, this compass was always sufficient. It was always sufficient for me to sail the seas, and many others are using the same compass. But they realized it's 2 degrees off. Where it should point, the magnetic north, and these guys were just saying, but it was sufficient, it was fine for all these years. We use it, and it's not only us; it's other people as well. But in the end, they just said, well, it's not good enough. You just caused a major sea disaster by using a compass that was 2 degrees off target. And I realize sometimes this is what's going on in our lives. We settle for something, we use something that we think it's good enough. And then what we will do is we say, everybody is doing the same thing. So it's not so bad. I can go around and my friends, we're all using this compass. And we can talk to one another and we say, yeah, that's fine. We can settle for 2% off. And the New York Times at the time, they wrote the story and at the end, they wrote where the two captains came together and they just cried. They said they hold on to one another and they just cried for this massive sea disaster that occurred and all the people that died. It was just for them so bad that it was all because of one compass that was 2 degrees off. And that for me was just an eye-opener that we must really look at our lives. Maybe we think we're okay. Maybe we think we're running in a good direction. I believe that we know if we are the 2 degrees and off. And it's not this morning a message to condemn us. I just believe it is just God coming to me and to each one of us. And He just wants us back. He just wants us to come back into His story, in His plan for our lives. Because our desires and our dreams and our things, if it's not in line with what God wants for us, then we are on a different track. And we might think that it's okay, and we might think that it's only 2 degrees. And I can add it on, and I can just go on like this. So what is driving your life? What is steering your ship? How does that compass, how does it look like? And it's really God just came and is speaking to me about that. Because sometimes these things, it's part of our culture. Sometimes it's things that we decide we're gonna do this, we're gonna build this into our life, or we're gonna believe this thing. And sometimes there are things in our life that just came in through culture. And it started out as a something that we saw in our parents. For me, the apartheid and all of that was a very good example. Where lots of children grew up, they saw racism and everything in their parents. They just thought this is how it's going to be. And it became part of their lives. And they thought this is the right way. And they grew up like that. And those longings or those things became a habit in their lives. And that's just an example. But I realize that sometimes things come in unconsciously that we're not even aware of. That just through culture, it's coming in and it's shaping us in a certain way that we think this is okay. And actually it's shaping our love for stuff. It's shaping our desires. It's shaping our dreams. And it can get very difficult to stay on the right path. I was in a coffee shop the other day and the two ladies, old ladies sitting at the table next to me, and the one said, "Wow, I'm so impressed with myself these days. I can come to the mall and leave without buying something. It is just amazing." And the other one said, "Wow, that is so good. You really move forward and I'm so proud of you." I thought, man, this is what our lives has got to. And she was really impressed. And she said, and then she lifted up her bag and see, "I've spent the whole day in the shopping mall and I only bought this," and I think she had shoes there. "She said, only one pair of shoes for today. I'm so impressed with myself." And I said, "Yes, and you will see, some days you will leave without buying, then you can also move forward and you can be like me and you will experience this joy." I think, man, that is what culture is doing. The guy, there's a guy that wrote a whole thesis about shopping malls. He's doing religious studies. And he's actually just writing about shopping malls. How it lured us into, he called it the temple. So we go to the temple to worship. And you go there, and as you walk in, they're ready to receive you. They're ready to touch your longings, your desires, what you want. They're ready to satisfy it. They have people that welcome you. There's a map. That they, if you're a seeker or a newcomer, there's a map for you to see where is what you want, to show you the way. And they say that often there's no windows to the outside. They just open up everything to the top. That you feel you're escaping from your world. You're actually just walking in the space where you can escape for a while from your own world back home. And it becomes so nice, and you can sit down, and you can spend time there. And it's this world that they created. And you can just think, what do I want today? And it will be there somewhere. You must just search. So you go on the search. I say sometimes you know what you want. You can go on and get it. Sometimes you just go there. Because you just realize that you just want something. You're not sure what it is. So you go to the mall. And you walk around there, and you call it this time of worship, the world. And he said, there will be someone waiting for you, checking, to satisfy your need. And that's what this guy is writing his thesis about malls, shopping malls, religious places. And it's just interesting, because he say, and then they will sell you this thing, but the best part is, next week, they will tell you that what you buy last week is not sufficient anymore. You must replace it now. So initially, they will tell you everything that is what you need. And just as you bought everything, the next message that they're going to tell you always is that is not sufficient anymore. It won't help you anymore. You must replace it. So we just become consumers. And we're just replacing all the time. Nothing is good enough to keep, nothing satisfies us. And it's just this ongoing thing. that's going on. And really, they're just connecting with our desires, with our feelings. They do all their research. They want you to buy. And that's what the world is busy with. Other thing, the culture, the social media, all the selfies. In India, one place, they just sell selfie sticks. I couldn't believe it. Everybody, selfie stick, it's just selfie sticks. So it's a whole culture of us taking photos of ourselves to show people, of this building up our own self-image. And this is what the world is portraying. This is what social media thrives upon. You're taking your best photo and you put it there. Ta-da. Check this. And all of this are shaping us. All of this is shaping our longings, our desires. It's doing something inside of us. And the difficult thing is it creates habits. If you do the same thing over and over, it creates a habit in your life. It's like you all know when you start driving. My dad is a driving school instructor. And right now he said he's 74. But he said he doesn't want to teach the old people anymore. And then from 40 up, he'd say, it's a bit difficult. He doesn't have patience anymore. But I remember those K53 in the beginning. He started out this blender call, clutch, this, all the steps. And you do all these things. But later on, it just becomes habit. We don't think about, okay, we don't do everything. But we don't think about it anymore. You just get in the car and you drive. Because it became a habit. But in the beginning, it started out where you had to make the decision to learn it, to go through those steps. To actually say, okay, I'm going to take an hour, I'm going to pay someone. Next week I take another hour, I pay someone. And you go on and on and on until you drilled it into you and it became a habit and it's actually changing you. And that is what I believe, that for some of us, this is where we will have to get to. Where there are some things that's part of our lives, that drilled into our lives, that became habits, that became ways of how we live, that somehow we must break that cycle. Somehow we must change something. And it can be very difficult. I'm quickly going to show you a movie clip. Jeff, you can start there at 45 seconds. About habits and our difficulties to change.
plasticity. Am I even saying that right? Than an adult.
It's clear from this experiment that children have a much more plastic brain.
Yeah, thanks. So that just shows you how difficult it is to change something that we've been doing for a very long time. And the same things will happen. We often say, you are what you eat. That's what everybody said to me when I came up with, you are what you love. They said, no, you are what you eat. And it's actually, we are what you want to eat. That's actually the thing. Because we can have the diet, we can have everything worked out, we can have the knowledge, we can read, this is what I'm going to do. Say I'm going to start banting. So then I've got this desire. And then I drive past McDonald's and I think, ugh, I'll just get a Big Mac. So that's what I want. So I eat my Big Mac and then I continue reading about banting and everything. And then I decide, ugh, I'll just have a milkshake while I'm busy reading about this new diet. And it, in essence, we just what we want to eat. We can have all the desire. But it takes time, it takes willpower to really to, it takes effort to change that thing. And there are things like that in our lives that I believe that we need to change. Another good example is when say you want to run a marathon. Start out running, it's not nice. This I think the first 20K is not so nice. Just breaking through. Going from zero to get going. And often you will come home and someone will ask you, was it nice? You say, no, it wasn't nice. But for me, there's some states, say 2 or 3 months or something. If you can continue through that bad patch, then suddenly you will get home and say, it was actually nice. I've actually started to enjoy it. And something changed. And if you can go on through that, it becomes a new habit. And later on, you will start to eat differently. Later, you realize that, wow, I want to exercise. I want to do this right. And it will start a chain reaction in your life. But often, there's a part in the beginning that we not like. That's not nice. And it's part of building, it's shaping a new habit. And I believe, as we take stock, as we sit down and realize and say, Lord, these are the things that I really love in my life. And you need to help me to break these things. You need to help me to break the power of this over my life. Then there's a few things that we can do to help us. And one is this the Word of God. When 2 Timothy, I'm going to jump to a... No, see, now this... Okay, this is... Okay, this scripture, I'll just read it quickly. I'll interrupt myself. This is just 2 Timothy 3 verse 1. It's understand that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of themselves. This is what we see, and some of this we will see in our own lives. Lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless. It goes on and on. And it shows us, the Bible is saying, this is the last days. This is what people are going to be. This is what's going to be in our hearts. And these are some of the things that we need to change. But also it speaks in Timothy about the Word of God that's sufficient, that's profitable, that's sufficient for every good thing. For a man of God can walk in the right ways. There's the Word of God. So that is one step of us aligning ourselves with what God wants. And in the beginning, it might be that we have to make a time to read our Bible. That we will have to say, this is when I'm going to read my Bible. Times of worship, like we said, this is us allowing God to change us. Allowing to start this process of changing something inside of us. Then there's other things like, I believe coming to church and coming to cell, some of those things, sometimes we think it is just boring, there's not much happening there, it's just an effort. I told the guys last night that often there are things like that where I don't feel like doing it on those days, where I don't want to go. But then I realized that me going is actually shaping a love. It's breaking down a desire that's not from God and shaping it to become like Jesus. That is what it is. So in the beginning, that's going to take effort to break through. But I believe that someplace there's a change that's going to come. Well, that's why I trust for. That we will start creating new habits. That we will start breaking through and see new things happening in our lives. And the other thing is spiritual disciplines. I'm just going to mention it now. There's fasting, prayer, worship, meditation, spiritual disciplines. This is often, it is doing something that we can do now. That's my, I can't remember the correct explanation, but in lay terms, it is doing something that you can do now to get to somewhere that you can't do. Meaning that I can run 3 kilometers now. I can decide to run 3 kilometers every day. I want to run 20, but I can't run 20 now. So I start with 3. I do something that I can do now to get somewhere that's not possible for me at the moment. And this is what spiritual disciplines will do. We're doing something that we can do now. We study the Word, or just meditate, or fast. And those things that we do, it will start shaping us. It will start helping us to move forward, shaping our lives, shaping us who we are. N.T. Wright, I'm almost done. I'm just going to read for you N.T. Wright. He said, what we are here for is to become genuine human beings, reflecting the God in whose image we were made. And becoming like Jesus, that is really, it is closing the gap between what I know, all my knowledge, and actually what I'm doing. Because like we see, knowledge alone is not enough. Knowledge is, you can have all the knowledge, you can tell the guy, this is how you ride this bicycle, but you can't do it. It needs to be shaped. It needs to be shaped. And I trust for that God will do that shaping in our lives. And last night, it just struck me that sometimes, it's going to look like what we're doing is boring. Hear me. Sometimes, just doing the right thing almost going to look boring, maybe to the world, or to people that don't understand. But really, sometimes we're just going to press through. Coming to church, doing what we believe God wants us to do, we're creating those new habits, and then there's going to be breakthroughs. And then we're going to see, wow, my life is starting to change. I'm starting to experience something new of Jesus. I experience the Lord in my life. I experience Him working through my life. But often starting out, that process might seem boring because of all the messages that we receive in our culture, because of everything that the world is telling us. That is just the warning that I want to give. And God is ready to put you in His story. To put you in the story that He has for our lives. I mean, if we can go on trying to shape our own lives, or we can just allow God to come and say, Lord, shape me, put me in the right place. Let us stand. James 1 verse 12. I'm just going to read it again. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love Him. Each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. I pray that we will take stock of our lives, that we will realize those desires and those things that we chase after, it's actually shaping us. That we will realize the world, it might be our job, it might be things that we want, things that we really desire. It might be that those things are shaping us into someone we don't want to be without even realizing it. So So my prayer is, as we spend time with God, that He will show us exactly who's that person we are becoming. And allow God to shape our habits, to shape our lives, to shape our desires, that we can create new habits, new things. We are what we love. Deep down, what we love, those are things that shaped us. It shaped us in different ways. And then just come before God and ask Him, show me, Lord. And break down this, and replace with Your love.